But there's no, like, weird surprise.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Where were you on the night of March 14th?
So, yeah, hard time napping?
Well, you know, it's like, I can't manage the anxiety until mm-hmm. the set's over or until the show's over. And it's just like, you know.
Do you still have anxiety for every time before you do a show? Or is that just circumstantial, dependent upon what kind of show it is?
Every show.
Yeah.
Just because I think so much of my self-worth is still tied to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't been able to detach yet, and I hope one day I will. But so much of whether or not I feel okay that day is tied to how my set goes, which is so tragic.
No, I get that.
But, you know, so now it's that thing of like, if I have nerves before, I'm just like kind of a wreck spiraling.
Totally. Do you have any like weird rituals that you do, like in an OCD way, to make, because you said it's dependent upon your mood of the day sort of mm-hmm. thing. And I know what you mean by that. Like, I'm like, if I had like a show that I felt like was super important, mm-hmm. you know, then I would be like, of course I'd want to get like enough sleep or like little things like that. But like for you, when you say dependent upon mood, like where does that, what's that spectrum look like?
I feel like there are things I should do and I know I should do them. And it's like, wake up, work out, eat, whatever, you know, but every mm-hmm. time something's important to me, I end up eating for the first time at like 3 p.m. And I'm just
You can
like,
do that? I always think it's, yeah. you can, so you can just like, are you just not hungry?
Well, it depends on, sometimes my anxiety, like it makes me nauseous. Mm. And so I don't want food. Yeah. But I'm also an old school eating disorder pro. So, you
oh,
know,
okay.
I,
me too. 15 to 26.
Girl. I mean, find a woman on planet Earth who wasn't.
In LA.
But there's some,
anywhere. We're opening
first
it up.
World, type Problems. Of situation. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It just, I feel like there's a and I definitely don't want to glamorize or glorify it, but there is a point in the day where you push past like hunger. Mm-hmm. And that was always like, there was this like euphoric feeling on the other side for me that I don't know how we launched from napping into me talking about
past eating disorders. No, I know what you mean. Well, I was really anorexic in ninth grade. And mm-hmm. like, I look back on that period and I have no idea how I did it.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, I can't like, I had that high of like that starving high. And like, I was all good. And mm-hmm. I would do workout videos over and over. You're probably too young to remember Billy Blank's Ty Bo workout videos. Or like Denise, these were like videos I took from my mom, Denise Austin yoga.
Can I tell you what I'm picturing though? Rex Kwon Do from Napoleon Dynamite. I'm just picturing the, do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, the karate, sorry, like, I wanted to call it karate gi, but that's the outfit, right? Josh, the you gi. Know about this because you know about wrestling. So you know about all martial arts.
Yeah.
It is a gi.
He's the old guy. He's the guy wearing like American pants.
Yes.
Who's doing karate in Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes. I just sort of imagined you continue, but I'm sorry.
No, just like having the energy for everything, like walking around the track like a million times, workout videos. And it's like today, like I can't do anything.
No,
I can't. And I have to eat. Like
we went up three flights
hungry.
Of stairs and we're
I'm,
both
I'm
a wreck.
Drained.
You went and got a Red Bull.
Yeah. After that first, I'm sweating from it. Yeah. It's, I need to eat. I need to sleep. I'm a little baby.
You know, the last time I had a Red Bull, it's a funny story.
Yes.
The last time I had a Red Bull, I was, and it also ties into sort of like pre-show anxiety. Yeah. The last time I had a Red Bull, I was doing a podcast called The Guilty Feminist Podcast. It was live in New York City at a theater. And I was jet lagged and I did like way too many activities during the day. I went to like the fucking Cloisters to go to a museum. And, you know, by the time I got home, I was like, oh, okay, I have 1 hour. I'm so fucking exhausted. I need to nap. But instead, I'm just going to rip some sugar-free Red Bulls, just back to back, 1, 2, and 3.
Three Red Bulls?
Yeah. And so it just, it didn't help. It like got me past the point of any sort of energy and it just was like liquid anxiety, like fucking through a straw. And I had a like panic attack on stage.
Too much Red Bull does that. On stage?
Yeah, it was one I was able to hide, but I just like kind of blank, like my vision kind of like went out and I paused for like so long in the middle of an answer. And then I don't really know how it was resolved, but they edited it out of the recording, but it just like, it came over me and I like had to just calm down and like not speak as much for the rest of the thing. It just was like, so I'm so bad at like managing what my body needs and I'm still figuring mm-hmm. that out. It seems so simple, but like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think there's like, I think we're all so used to pushing ourselves, you know, and especially like today's generation, like everyone's like work hard, hustle, like grind. Like I don't, like, I'm not, like, I can't just, like, sit around. And it makes me think, like, for example, like, you saying you have to squeeze all this stuff. Like, I think it's even, like, traveling, like, and going to, like, New York. Like, you're like, I have to hit the museum. I have to do this. Like, we can't just, like, sit around and relax.
Yeah.
At least that's for me. Oh. I'm speaking on we as a country.
The collective we the sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it is a generational thing. And I also think it is like a pre-COVID world thing.
Let's talk about post. Not doing much.
I mean, it was like kind of, you know, I feel like that was the only thing that I got from it, which was just like, oh, all of these things you're working so tirelessly to achieve and all of these things you're pouring yourself into like slipped away in an instant. So
the past year.
Yeah. I mean, like just like with, you know, stand up going away and like just being so grindy about it.
Yeah.
You know,
did you do much stand up over the past year?
No, I did a couple Zoom gigs, which just like drained my will to live, honestly.
Not into them. Stand-up isn't meant for Zoom. It's a live medium.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think there are great storytellers. Like I've seen people do it so well, but that is because there isn't an ounce of like setup punchline that can be traced within their stand-up. So they just seem like they're talking anyway.
Yeah.
So it translates super well. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, you're very classic in that, like, you know, like formulaic like thing. And I'm also like, just, you know, like fucking walking into the audience and it's very like much a part of like the thing. So yeah, it just was not good for me.
Yeah. But were you when did you film? Oh, well, I feel like that's like a whole other chunk too. Mm-hmm. I guess we could talk about that first.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about stand-up and hacks. But when did you film that?
So that was November 12th to April 17th.
During the pandemic.
2020.
Wow.
To 2021.
Okay. So it's like you were it's not like you weren't not doing something.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Totally, totally, totally. Yeah.
You know what I think is so cool about you?
Huh.
Is that like, it's like, you're the kind of person who like, you don't like put out there that you're like doing. Like, I felt like I didn't know that you were doing the show. And it's not like you're like posting like the Deadline article, like on your feed. You're just like, oh, a show came out that I'm on now. And it's like, oh, wait, what? Like, that's so cool. Am I wrong?
You know, in all
honesty,
Chelsea.
Unless I missed something.
I mean, yes, I didn't post the
but like, that's so cool. Do you know what I mean?
You know, it is, it took all the strength in my body. Not
really?
Of course, because like, you know, I like the rest of us am, you know, a little tiny chip, you know, hamster in the wheel of social media being like, I want the dopamine too.
Yes.
But I had to be like, yeah, what is this doing? Really, honestly, it came down to me like not, and maybe this is like stupid, but I did not want, like, I know how hard a time it is right now for comics. And so I didn't want to be like, look what I, you know, just because like I was like this, the industry, like our industry has stopped what, you know, acting and, you know, TV and film that's going, but like, I didn't, that's what made me be like, I'm going to like post less shit. And now I am posting stuff now. It's
now,
like like articles and shit like that. But yeah, in the pandemic, I was just like, I don't want like people to see this and feel like worse than everyone already is.
That's so sweet. Yeah, I feel like that connects to, like...
I'm codependent.
So, like, anytime like your name has come up in a conversation that I've been in with like Steven, my husband, or like Nicole. I feel like those are the only two people I could think of who I've ever had a conversation about you with. And like, we're always like, Hannah's like such a good person. Like you radiate, like, does everyone say this about you? Stephen's like, you have to ask her why, like you don't like, as far as I know, like you're not like someone who like gossips and talks shit. Like you're very light in this like dark world of like stand up. Like you're very like elegant and classy. Josh, don't you feel like she gives off that vibe?
Yes.
Thank you,
Josh.
That,
I'm sorry, I don't
you'll
know.
Be, you'll be getting the stipend that like you were promised.
But it's like you know, the, like certain, like we all like.
I have a gun pointed at him
like,
under the table.
A peer circle of knowing someone who you're around doing stand up, like you would know if like, oh, that person's like I'm sure people would say like, oh, I'm a bitch, you know? Because I know part of it like was a little bit of like a character for a while, and I swear it's not really me. But like, but you're just like a good person. So like, is that a character trait that was like adopted to you from like, is that like the way that you were raised? Like, how did you come up with like so much grace?
You know, I feel like, first of all, that's so nice. I just feel like, I know how I feel all the time, and I know how, hurt I have been, especially when I was coming up and like before I was really like in intense therapy. And so I figured like, this is a community of really hurt, people. And so I would just love to love them and try to connect with them in a positive way and be vulnerable and share my stuff. And hopefully that makes them feel like they can talk. And so I just feel like it comes from my basic desire to connect with people. And like, I mean, I just feel like, yeah, I want to feel that. And I want others to feel like supported. And I also, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to like, part of me is like, I can't even like, it's hard for me to take the compliment because I also feel like I am, you know, deeply flawed as anyone, you know, and I do certainly try. But yeah, I just feel like there are so many lovely, people and yeah, like this, the worst is sort of brought out in stand-ups when, you know, we have this sort of darkness, I think all of us, when we are feeling threatened, when we are failing, when we feel unsafe, or, you know, someone hits us in that little soft spot. Like, I have that stuff too, but I also have been so fortunate coming up that I haven't had any opportunity to become like quote unquote bitter or any of those things. Like, because I have been so incredibly fortunate in my journey, I don't, you know, I haven't had the chance to get there, I guess.
Yeah.
Only time will tell, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like what comes along with that too is like a general good attitude, you know, like obviously you're like a good person to work with. Like, I don't think it's, like, in addition to your talent, I think it's also, like, character, like, someone that someone wants to be around. Like, I know that your parents are in the industry. Like, is that something that your parents, like, raised you to, like, know of? Like, while you're working in this, like, it's important to, like, treat everyone really well and, like, stuff like that. Like, did they impart any of that onto you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. My, you know, my mom has been very open about, you know, her journey in entertainment. And, you know, the truth is when she got on SNL, she was 22 and like a cocaine and heroin addict. And like,
really? When she was 22?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. She started using drugs when she was like 13.
Twins.
We have so much to fucking talk about. It's so, yeah. Like, you know, you guys got me beat by 2 years. But like, yeah. So she just there, I guess like, my upbringing had a lot of like, you know, my dad also, like my parents met in AA. So they both made, they both made a lot of they both, I don't want to say made mistakes, but they both, you know, they didn't have what I had, which is them going, hey, just learn from my mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, you know, you gotta...
They made the mistakes for you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so that's absolutely 100%. You know, that was really helpful. But also, you know, I just feel like, you know, I think a lot of us were like bullied kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly was. And so, you know, I just like... I understand that there is a hierarchy in stand-up, and sometimes people fall into that role of, like, it goes beyond, like, giving each other shit, which we all love to do. I just, like, cannot. There's no part of me that could, like, I don't know, go there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say that they certainly helped me in that way.
Yeah. So you were bullied growing up. Was that by guys or girls? Like, do you have specific memories? Was it like elementary school, like playground kind of thing?
Yeah, it was like kind of like girl. It was mostly girls. It was exclusively girls. And it was like that mind game shit that little girls do, especially in like LA, where I have this theory that LA bullies are worse because they learn from their psychotic, narcissistic parents. And so they get like all this like really fucked up shit ingrained in them so early. And so they just like put it on you.
Yeah.
And I definitely felt like I had a little bit of that come my way. I mean, I just would like, you know, like just mind games and like a lot of, it goes back to like, you know, what I was saying. And I think a lot of comics feel this way where you just like are sensitive and are kind of this like open wound. Mm-hmm. And then the world takes advantage of that in some way. And then you close up and you're like, no one can hurt me anymore. And, I kind of feel like with a lot of emotional work, I kind of feel like I've come out the other end of my period of like, no one can hurt me. I'm like this, you know, impenetrable fortress. And I guess I'm just trying to now find like a happy medium between the two, because it is like that. I don't want to lose that vulnerability, but like, you know, it's also some people still, you know, some people still kind of take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at times. So.
Yeah. Like if they can pick up on the fact that you're like someone could push around, you mean?
Yeah. Or if I like in an effort to connect with someone, make myself vulnerable and open up about something. And then that is like turned on, you know, turned against.
Yeah.
It happens. It's a risk of that.
Yeah, totally. I guess I never really thought about that, but totally true. I guess I don't really realize it's happening until after it's happened.
Really?
It's hard to catch it in the moment. And then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
but
definitely.
I'm still the kind of person who goes back to like the same person over and over again, expecting different results. Like I totally have that like insanity with relationships and stuff. And thankfully I'm going to Al-Anon now, which is like helpful with that. And like, I'm in therapy too. And like just learning boundaries. I can't believe people who don't go to therapy. Like, you know, you were saying like that you're in therapy right now, like, which is amazing. I mean, Josh, are you in therapy?
No.
Yeah. So
I have no problems. Just a
I love tying Josh into the randomest moments of my podcast.
And why do you think that is, Josh? No, that was meant to be. I'm not, no pressure.
I got confused on the question.
No therapy?
Well, the truth is it needs to be like covered. It needs to be healthcare
available for everyone. Yeah, that is one of the things that I have noticed. Like a lot of my girlfriends who really do need it, like are like, I can't afford it. And then I feel bad. And then, absolutely.
That's a huge part of it.
We'll write the governor after
this. Yeah.
Or whoever goes.
He watches. He watches.
Newsom?
Yeah.
Peace. Anyways, let's get into, I'm all over the place. I want to hear about, how you started performing. Like, I know you grew up in LA. Like, was that like, did you grow up being like, I wanted to do stand up and acting? Like, was that, or is that something that's like developed over the years?
Yeah, I didn't really, have I was always kind of a performer. I was like a competitive cheerleader.
Really?
When I was,
yeah. Oh my God. Like you and Chappelle.
Yeah, yes. one of our like huge friendship bonding moments was just like talking about, cause we did the same exact type of cheer.
Oh really?
Yeah. It was like, it's beyond the like, you know, football game sideline shit. It's like the real, yeah, it's like cheer on Netflix.
What did you do? What was your,
I was a flyer.
So like they pushed you up in the air and you did the flip or whatever, uh-huh. or like the 180 or
turn or whatever.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
And you're tall.
Yeah.
But aren't usually the 4 foot girls?
Yes. Yes.
Did you have a growth spurt or were you just the spinner girl?
Always tall. Which 5'10"? I'm 5'8", but I have like 2-inch.
Oh, maybe it's the
shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's the big shit kicker docks. Yeah. Yeah, I was always really tall, and I was certainly, it was not typical for a flyer. And like, there is something in competitive cheerleading where like the coaches are kind of like Russian gymnastics coaches, mm-hmm. where like they will break you down to build you up. And like, my height was always
my favorite relationship.
Where do I sign? So yeah, they just like there. I had one coach who was very like, you know, tough on me about my height, just being like, ugh, this gross, huge girl. Of course, like setting the stage for a lot of shit, but,
a lifetime of insecurity.
Yeah. She laughed. So I was like a performer in that sense.
Yeah.
Everything ties back to trauma. Every question is going to be a little bit of like, and that's another sort of like, you know, another chipping away at the.
No, I get it. I mean, I do think it's all tied together, kind of just like the whole goal of like validation and performance and like, hi, look at me. And like self-worth tying into that. I think
absolutely.
I'm picking up on clue words that have been said and I relate.
Absolutely. And the idea that if you don't get first, you're last. Mm-hmm. And so like nothing, like it's perfection or nothing. And just being like so hard on yourself. And so like, you fucking idiot, do it again. Mm-hmm. Like all of that really harsh self-criticism. So that's sort of where that was born. And, but cheerleading was fucking awesome because I was an ADHD, like ADD kid, and I could not sit still in school, and it was like, I was like, oh fuck yeah, like I get to go and just like run and tumble and, you know, fly and shit. But that was
so
sort
you can
of
do flips.
I could.
Wow.
That was like my pre-puberty during Adderall body.
Yeah.
So I was just like stick skin, but now I The last time I did a flip, I'll never forget it actually. You know? It was, I transitioned from, it's like very
Pause.
Sad. This is the theme. It's very, it's a sad story actually. I transitioned from, competitive cheerleading to high school cheerleading, and my high school cheerleading team did not take it nearly as seriously. And so I wasn't getting in the gym and I wasn't like working on my skill and getting better. So I kind of just like slowly lost a lot of my skills. Mm. And I remember I went to go do a round off back handspring tuck, which is, you know, round off back handspring and then a flip with no hands,
and then it's
just
tuck.
For the viewers at home. I was scared. I was like, I remember being like, this is something I've always been able to do. Why am I scared? And I did a round off back handspring and I couldn't go for the flip and I just couldn't go for the flip. And I was so fucking mad. And I used my anger basically to throw it. And I went and like threw it and I did a round off back handspring tuck and I fell. I did a tuck and I landed on my hands and knees and I just started crying.
No.
Because it was like the end of this thing that I... that was so deeply tied to my personality and my identity.
Yes.
And I was like,
it's
over.
Done. Yeah.
And who am I now? Fucked up.
And did you quit after that?
I just kept doing high school cheer, but I just like detached and became like, you know,
who,
well, you know, just a little like Adderall stoner girl who just like, I just was like, I'm tough and no one can hurt, you know, whatever. And just like being like, my identity was very rooted in that.
Mm-hmm.
Until I found comedy, which is nice.
Yeah. How old were you when you started doing stand-up?
I did it for the first time my senior year of college. So I guess 20, 21.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, your original question being like, was this something I always wanted mm-hmm. to do? I really fell into comedy. Like I didn't really do a lot of performance other than cheer until mm-hmm. until I was in college. I joined the improv team.
Yeah.
And then from there, I just started doing stand-up my senior year because Nicole Byer came to my college, and she asked if anyone from the improv team wanted to open for her, and I just I'll try it. And
that's so sweet.
Yeah, she's so cool, because now knowing she could have taken any friend to open
yeah,
for her.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love hearing stuff like that.
She fucking fully changed my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you do like 5 minutes and it or something?
I did like eight. Yeah. I did
eight?
Like eight.
For your first time?
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was like?
I mean, I was so like same nerves.
Yeah.
But I was kind of still rooted deeply in this character mm-hmm. of like, you know, like sort of like serious and tough and cold. And so that sort of like was the kind of like persona.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of forced me to be like confident on stage.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I mean, I was like truly hit with the bug immediately.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I feel like it evolved, right? Because then you became very like performancey
mm-hmm.
too. I mean, like I remember the first time I saw you at Potluck when you did the fan bit. Sorry,
oh
I don't know
God.
What to call it.
Yeah, that's
but
what
that,
it,
what do you call it?
The fan bit.
Yeah, really? But I loved it. And I was like, oh my God, I remember I was like, who is that? And I loved it. And then I remember I was like, oh my God, you have to do my show in the belly room. Because I thought it was so cool. Because I feel like, you know, I feel like it was so original. And I don't really see stuff like that so much anymore. I mean, at least like at the Comedy Store. Like maybe on the East Side, you'd see something more like interesting. And I don't want to say experimental, but like, yeah, it was cool because it worked in a club. You know, like it was something that I feel like some of your stuff is very East Side, mm-hmm. but like it works, it somehow works very well here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's so nice. I will never forget that. that's so nice. And I remember.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so nice. But I remember when I saw you at Potluck because like to go back to what you earlier were saying, I was a little intimidated because
I was hosting and
you
I was
were
a
hosting,
bitch to everyone.
Yeah,
and then I think I was really nice to you.
You were. And I was like, what's happening? But I mean, I obviously should have known that was like, you know, like persona-ish stuff.
Well, there's like this thing of like hosting Potluck also where it's like before me, all the other hosts were like assholes. Right, Josh? Isn't that like a thing to be like a dick when you're the host and to like dog on all the 7 to 8 people?
You know, not for everyone. I'm a good guy.
You're
the one. You're just trying to justify why you was a bitch.
No, okay? It was like I felt like it was a thing that like everyone was doing before me, and it was like this because there's like that Comedy Store like energy of like being a dick, and I feel like you know, like kind of like took that on and was like, oh, I have to do that to like fit in. Cause when I first started working here, I don't anymore, but when I did in like 2014, everyone was so mean to me for my first month. And like after my last shift, I like walked home and I called my mom and I was crying. And like all these door guys were like really mean to me. And like I felt like I had to like prove myself. So I had to put on this like hardened shell, you know?
Oh, Chelsea, I'm sorry. Fuck. I cannot tell you how much like respect I
really I
have.
I feel you sharing like on an empathetic level right now.
I'm
you're good at mirroring.
I feel you.
It's like Midsommar.
It's
have you seen that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like I feel like I just screamed and you screamed back.
Oh my God. No, that's so funny. I just like, I'm so sorry. Like,
didn't do anything.
No, I know, but I'm sorry
you
had to go through
that.
I
feel like that like comes from, you know, but then it's
of course.
No one else knows that.
Well, but by
you know?
The way, like when the guys do it, they're not It's just, it's like charming.
Totally.
But when you do it, like, that's why anyone would say the word bitch, because you're a woman.
And I was a bitch. I was being a bitch, especially that potluck, I remember. And then I remember I thought it looked weird that I was being so nice to you. But I was like, I don't care. I remember I was like, that person fucking sucks. All right, Hannah Einbinder, I don't know who the fuck that is, but let's bring her up.
You literally.
And then I was like, oh my God, she was great. And then I walked over, I was like, hey, do my show. Is that like basically what happened?
Yes.
I felt like that was like 3 years ago.
That's verbatim what happened. You literally said,
right.
Don't know who that is. Well, everybody make it loud. Oh my God. It was such a mind fuck, but like this, okay. But like, first of all, this place, like the vibe is, I parked in the spot that says Mitzi only and I like pulled in and I saw it and I immediately got scared. I was like, oh, she's going to cut. She's gonna, God rest her soul, beyond the grave, come out and like yell at me for parking in her spot. I literally was scared. I was like, wait, she's what?
This like, club has an energy.
Yeah. And that's why, like, when I hear about your experience, I'm like, what? Like, it's almost, I don't know. I feel like we have so much to deal with already. Mm-hmm. And then you fucking come into an environment and you're like, I mean, by the way, like, I fuck with the store. There are so many, I don't know, just like icons who I love, who came through here, and the energy is great. It's undoubtedly one of the best feeling rooms for comedy in Los Angeles. But there's also like an equal amount of shit that like I just cannot imagine being so close to night after night after night and having to kind of pledge and like take shit.
That is so true. It was kind of like pledging. Or like hazing. And is that the same?
Yeah.
I didn't go to college. No, I wasn't in a sorority. Were you? You were?
I was.
I'm surprised to hear that. I would have never guessed that. But I know there's different types. Out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Chapman.
Okay. Sarah Weinshank went there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In Orange County?
It is. It is. Yeah. I was in Delta Gamma, which, you know, whatever. I did drop out, but it was cool. It gave
Did you have to pledge or get hazed or any of that?
No, but my sorority did this like secret event. I mean, I guess I could talk about it. I don't give a fuck.
Secret event.
This secret event with another fraternity on campus where there was drinking, hazing, and
Making people like chug large amounts
of
alcohol.
Making people get fucked up and like a lot of things along the line. Not quite, but like one of the fraternities did get kicked off campus, which...
Because I know that became like a really big problem probably right before around the time you were in college in terms of like hazing with drinking and stuff like that. I remember hearing about. And then, okay, so that fan bit, love. It was so awesome that you got to do it on Colbert, right?
I didn't, but I...
You
I didn't?
Did.
No, but I think the whole vibe was as if I cracked a fan, Michael Verza.
But didn't you do like that noir kind
Yes.
of?
Yes.
Is that not the same...
Different bit, but I must have done those two on the same night at Potluck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, but still, I mean,
It felt connected to me from my memory, but maybe it was just,
The fan bit is like so short that I think I probably threw it on the end of that one.
Yeah.
So
how was your experience with doing Colbert?
It was great. I mean, it was cool. I took a beta blocker just to like stop my
propanol?
Heart. Yeah.
I'm annoyed because I feel like I have the prescription. I've tried it. I did not like the way it made me feel. But I hear everyone say that they like always take it and they love it. And I'm like, why didn't it work for me?
How did it make you feel?
I felt like uncomfortable. I didn't like the way it made me feel. Like it made me feel like I felt like my heart slowed down too much or
something. Oh, no. How many milligrams was it? Do you know?
I can't remember. I've tried it a couple of times.
The lowest dose, I think, is 10.
I'm really sensitive to medication, though.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
And that helped, though?
It did.
Damn.
It did. It did because... It did, but also Ahmed... I was in LA, like, two nights before, and I took it just to practice taking it to see if it would, like, fuck me up. And I did Ahmed's show, and he said... Because Ahmed had done Colbert, and he said something to me. He just, like... It was so simple. He just was like... It's so much fun.
But he said, don't buy a new suit, right? Did he tell you that?
No. Is that an old
Was that him or Fahim? one of them was like, don't buy, one of them was like, I bought a new suit to do like, I think it was Ahmed.
Ahmed
was
did one in
Sarah
a suit.
During then, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So he bought like a suit because he wanted to like do a late night spot, like in a suit, like that classic thing.
Right.
But then he was like, I was so uncomfortable in it because I never wear suits.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought it'd be funny if he told you, don't wear a new suit.
That's so funny. Yeah. I mean, oh my God, I can't. It's like new shoes mm-hmm. or any of that stuff. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I've heard that from so many comedians mm-hmm. where they're like, and you can tell when there's a comedian mm-hmm. who's like, he just wears flannels or whatever the fuck. And yeah. then he's like styled for a special mm-hmm. and he's like,
yeah. Like there's so many girls who wear like dresses and like, I would never be comfortable ever on stage in a dress. Like I have to wear like a t-shirt and a hoodie. Like I just, that's just what makes me feel. I remember Chelsea Peretti wore a tracksuit one time on a late night show, and I thought that was
it.
So cool.
She's so fucking cool.
She's so cool.
She's so cool.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about hacks. So, love the show. Love it, Hannah.
Thank
Incredible
you.
Job. I mean, like,
thank you.
Where do we begin? Such a great natural actress.
Oh,
I
thanks.
Love what you fill in between the lines.
Oh,
and this is
wow.
me trying to talk like, I know something about acting.
Well, you and me have the same exact amount of knowledge, honestly.
What was before, had you been, because this is like your first, I mean, you, did you ever do like a couple of small things before this? This is like your first big thing.
I had like two lines in my buddy's movie, my yeah. friend Mikey Alfred, this movie, North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I was a waitress. I literally was like, you know, I said something like, he's over there, Johnny, or whatever the fuck. Like, just was being like,
It took place in New Jersey.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like every waitress has like an East Coast accent.
Totally.
They're always smoking.
Yeah.
But other than that, this is my first gig.
That's, I can't believe that because you're so natural. You're
Thank
so
you.
Natural. And
Thank
like,
you.
I feel like the hardest thing to do sometimes is like to play yourself or like a version of yourself. And I feel like your character is probably somewhat close to like how you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, is it, were you like, I'm just going to play this straight from me? Or what was like your like thought process or what you did to kind of like when you auditioned for it?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of, for the most part, whenever I auditioned, mm-hmm. I feel like I kind of imbued a little bit of myself into mm-hmm. everything just because that was the extent of
yeah.
like my ability at the time before I knew that like it was possible to do other things within a character, I mm-hmm. suppose. So yeah, I really did. I mean, I just felt like when I read the sides, I felt like, oh, this is a person who I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's specifically a woman who I know. And it's a woman who has these characteristics that are usually attributed to men, especially in film and television.
Mm.
And so I was like, I have those characteristics. Like,
yeah.
I feel comfortable being in that zone. And so it was really the first time I was comfortable identifying with the material. I thought it was funny. You
yeah.
know, there are jokes like in the sides right off the bat that I'm like laughing at. So I just kind of like tried to match the emotions and try to work on, you know, making sure I was in that proper headspace. But other than that, you know, and other than like her instincts and her perspective, like mm-hmm. putting the rest of it in my delivery, my, you know, sort of like comedic rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was pretty close.
How many times did you audition?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah. Initial and then a call back on Zoom and then a screen test with Gene.
Were you nervous for the screen test? Like, what was that like?
It was, I mean, I didn't know what to expect because mm-hmm. I had never gotten a call back
yeah.
for anything. So I really just went in being like,
no, cool.
What's it's going to be? It was on a sound stage at Paramount and all of
the
lights
screen
were
test.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah. The screen test, all of the lights were off except for these two, like, stayed like fit movie lights.
Yeah.
And then there was a chair for me and a glass screen to protect
Gene. Oh my God, because it's COVID.
Yeah. And then Gene. And then the showrunner, it's like Mike Schur, Paul, Lucia, Jen, and like Morgan Sackett and probably like one other person. And then the camera guys in the dark. Like I can't see them really. Like, and I just like, I walked in and I was like, I just like immediately was like, I have to make jokes because this is such a strange. But Jean actually called me the night before and she just was like, hey, I know it's going to be kind of weird tomorrow. I think like with the COVID precautions.
So sweet.
Yeah. She totally calmed my nerves. And so
that's interesting that she called you. Did you know her already?
No.
So she just took it upon herself to call you.
Yeah. She just got my number.
All and, like, instant connection.
Yeah. She just like, it's all sort of serendipitous in that way. Like it just all felt like there were like symbiotic energies moving, you know, in just off the bat, even before she knew me. And I have no reel. So she just like, she must have just like looked up my stand up and just was like, hey, like whatever. Yeah, she called me. So that helped me going in.
And I feel like that speaks so much about her as like a person, because I feel like so many actors would never, ever do that. And like, obviously like that's incredible. So I'm sure that made you feel so much more at ease.
Oh, completely. And I always say I'm like so karmically fucked for my next thing because I got it so good this time.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was that. Every person was so like wonderfully supportive and lovely.
Were you nervous at the screen test or were you like, did it feel like whatever is meant to be will be?
I felt like because there was no stand up and this was really all I had.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Cause during that time you're like, oh, I want this.
Yeah. I just was like, this is the only piece of, this is my only hope.
I know what you mean. Yeah. So then how did you manage that for yourself? Cause like you've talked about anxiety a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I took a beta blocker for the screen test. I mean,
propanol.
Honestly, propanol. This is like an accidental ad, but, I don't remember if I did or if I didn't, but I mean, I just, Jean's call helped me so much because I was like, okay, I'm hearing her voice. Like she's as cool as I think she is. She's like dyeing her kid's hair at like a, you know, 10:45.
Yeah, she's
like,
she's a person.
Yeah. She's like so wonderful and supportive. So that helped me so much, but I guess I just managed it by feeling, I mean, Paul Lucia and Jen after my initial audition, even before the callback on Zoom, they called me.
Oh, wow.
They were like, my first audition, they called me and they said, hey, we liked that line that you improvised in your initial audition. And I was like, what line did I write? Because I realized like going back that like there was a line that I forgot. And so I just made up a joke.
Yeah.
And so they were like, just like do more of that. Like we really liked what you did. Don't change anything. Like that was cool. And so it was just so encouraging from the start that they set me up like truly because I would have been a wreck if they weren't so great. Truly.
And then, so how soon after the screen test did you find out?
I think maybe 2 weeks.
How was that 2 weeks?
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying. But I also felt like...
Were you like, it's on Ringer, right? just checking the volume.
That's very much so. I'm like calling my manager every day, just being like, what's up, man? So what? Like, yeah, very much that. It was so... God, it was such a, like, it was this stretch of me feeling like, I mean, I never feel good about what I do. Like,
really?
It's so hard for me to hold on to feeling good about my shit. Like, it is so, I'm still working on that so much that when I walked out of there, I truly was like, oh, wow, that was like a meditative state. Like,
that's cool.
You know, where I was like, I left my body and I was in the moment with Jean and she was like, completely locked in. And I was like, that's if, you know, Dianu, you know, it would have been enough. Like it really would have been enough to just have all of that. And I was anxious about it and I was like, oh my God, please. I really whatever. But you know, it just felt like, it felt like such a charmed experience from the jump.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then were you living in Vegas for it?
No.
Okay.
We shot like 4 total days in Vegas.
Okay. Because I know obviously the ha-ha was here. I recognized that.
Did you just die when you saw it?
Yeah, and I love how someone ad-libbed Jack Jr.'s name too. I think Adam Ray might have been like, Jack Jr. I'm like, did they do that because of the club?
Wasn't Adam Ray perfect?
That was definitely funny. Yeah.
It was so great. He improvised a ton.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was so, like, I was trying so hard not to laugh when we had, like, so many takes of him just, like, kind of roasting us. Like,
and there's so many actors in the show that I hadn't seen before that I love. Like, yeah. I love Gene's assistant.
Mm-hmm. Carl Clemens Hopkins plays Marcus.
He's incredible. I love him. I loved like every single scene he's in. His voice is so soothing.
Yeah, yeah. Carl's like a trained theater actor. Mm. He was in Hamilton.
I could see that. Oh, really?
Yeah, and like a ton of other things.
I know, I'm embarrassed. Yeah,
it's fine, you know. Okay. I mean.
I just saw In the
Heights,
though.
See it live. Oh, yeah, did you?
But I'm not like a big musical person, but I did like it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like they're more modern than I think they are.
Interesting.
Okay, so like I felt like my impression of musicals in the past is just like
Singing in the Rain.
Yeah. So like I'm like, this is like they're like rapping. It felt more like
a modern take.
Yeah.
On an old classic.
Yeah. So then was I right?
Yeah.
I guess there's no right or wrong.
Yeah.
But when that noise Josh just made just told me, shut up.
No.
That's enough. Do you like musicals, Josh?
Yeah, I'm a professional musical watcher.
Really?
You know, Michael Jackson music videos on YouTube.
No, musicals. Musicals.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay. Wait, so then that was in L.A.? Where was her house?
Her house was all of that was on the Paramount lot.
Oh, that's so fun.
Isn't that crazy?
I love to hear when things are on, like, a lot and you just didn't know. Like, really? So, but the exterior, like, what was that?
That was in Bel Air.
Oh.
That was.
And then everything was, like, a set built.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Movie magic.
It's so crazy
the way they do all that.
Oh, my God. Cool.
I did a Q&A, and some were related to this, and I know what one of them was, and I'm sure that you've gotten this question, but several times I had got, what was it like doing the kissing scene? Do you keep hearing that question?
I do.
Yeah.
And I honestly never get sick of it because I just want to only talk about it.
I was shocked. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I thought the episode was going to end differently. And I was like, is this show going in like a different direction?
Yeah.
But then I get where it's so well written and it all makes sense and nothing is for like shock, you know?
Yeah.
So sorry.
No, that's
what
great.
Was it like?
I mean,
did you have a mint before?
I did.
First on-air kiss. Remember the MTV Kissing Awards?
What? No.
Not Kissing Awards. What is that? Remember the MTV Movie Awards and they do like a kissing award?
Oh, for the best kiss.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't, but what I do know is is her name Rachel McAdams?
Yeah.
And Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
They won from The Notebook.
It was like,
and they did that thing where
they
ran to each other. I've seen that clip.
Yeah. Or like Britney Spears and like Madonna. I don't know what I thought, but it'd be funny if you guys got one.
If they still do it, I would love to be considered.
I know. Yeah. Is what we're saying. MTV. Yeah. Thank you.
But, it was great.
Yeah.
No,
were you nervous?
Cool.
Like, was it weird? Because you had spent a lot of time together at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go... Obviously you go in order of each episode was like what an episode a week or 2 weeks,
shooting.
Yeah.
We did the first block and we did the first block, a combination of mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3. And then we did like 4, 6, 8 and then mm-hmm. like 5, 7, whatever. Like, so it was kind of out of order and just like sort of scheduled based on, you know, which stages we could use. So it was all very jumbled. It was mm-hmm. rare that we would do two scenes in sequence, but that was pretty like late into shooting. But, I mean, it was funny. It was like, cause Gene and I mean, first of all, that put like the entire story into context for me. I was like, oh, this is a rom-com. Like, this is a rom-com. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you have the arc of like, sort of the 10 things I hate about you beginning of like these two people are like kind of butting heads mm-hmm. and then they kind of fall into this group with each other and then it's great. And then there's this like betrayal and then they break up and then they like have to come back together again. I just was like, oh, like Lucia, the director, she was like, when I realized that, she was like, where you been, girl?
Oh my God.
She's like, yeah, that's fully the, obviously they work together, but it's just like tracked in that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jean was so funny. She like, she came in the next morning and when she just like sat next to me in our, in the green room or whatever, like wherever actors sit. And I don't know what it's called. And they were, and Jean came up to me and she was like, huh, no flowers. Interesting. You know, she just was like fucking around. It was so funny.
That is so funny.
She's so funny. She's such like that. People are like, a lot of people ask Jean, like, are you, you know, like, was it weird, like, being a comedian? She's like, she is like a comic. Mm-hmm. She's the best storyteller. Everyone's crowding around her. Like, she's mm-hmm. so charismatic and so funny and so fucking quick. And so, yeah, she's, I just love her.
Did you learn stuff about acting from her? Like, would she, oh my God, yeah. did she ever like coach you or give you suggestions? Or
she just led by example. Mm. Like, she really mm-hmm. was, you know, I just like anyone watching her, like, you can see what she's doing. She's such a, you know, a lot of the stuff that I struggled which was like remembering where I, what my physicality mm-hmm. was to reproduce it. Mm-hmm. She was like catching all of the way that she, her pen and well it's got to match. And like the way that mm-hmm. her clothes were draped. Like, she was so aware of her instrument and her body and how to like reproduce all of these things while still feeling so fresh. And I just was like, this is what I need to like soak up from her.
Yeah.
She's great.
Were there any scenes that were harder than others to shoot? Like, what was, do you have any like memorable days that you were nervous about certain scenes?
I would say that like initially the crying scenes were really mm-hmm. intimidating because I did not have a ton of, you know, training. Yeah. And that's certainly like a skill. But then I feel like the MacGyver of acting, because I'm just like trying to cry with like random shit around the house. Like, to, I feel like, initially I'd be like, give me a second, guys. I would like watch like the end of Schindler's List to like,
for your emotional prep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then eventually I feel like I got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm like in this and this shit's making me cry. Like, wow. When Deborah slaps Ava in the dressing room and,
oh yeah.
I was fully just like, they didn't.
She doesn't really slap you.
She does. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She gave it to me.
Were you like, do it?
Yeah. 100%.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're like, she only was, one take though.
No, it was so funny because she was so scared to slap me because, you know, Jean is literally the sweetest. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I really don't, I'm so, and then it's like, okay, action. And we like start doing it and she fucking gives it to me so hard. And I was like,
so that helps with the shock.
Yeah. It was so shocking. I'm sure they probably used the first like, take because it was just like,
yeah.
So scared.
Yeah.
It was
that's
wild.
So funny. Okay. Let's see. If you had to pick one going forward, do you go acting or, oh, these are the questions, by the way, for the listeners. If you had to pick one going forward, would you pick acting or stand up?
I mean, it's, I don't know in what world I would have to pick.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
But I mean, like, I don't know. I guess, I mean, probably stand up.
Mm.
But that's if there's a literal gun to my head and the president of Hollywood is going, all right, Hannah, you can only pick one, in a scenario that would never happen. But I really love acting. I really do.
Yeah. When do you start? Oh, congrats on the second season.
Thank you.
I'm so excited. When do you guys start filming?
I don't know.
Okay.
They haven't told me anything yet, but I assume maybe like either late this year or very mm-hmm. early next.
Do you know anything about?
Nothing.
Okay, cool.
I wish.
What number is this? Did your mom have a big impact on your comedy? Added pressure or inspo or nada really?
Yes, of course. I think like, she showed me a lot of comedy very early on. Mm-hmm. So my sensibility has been influenced by her tremendously. She, you know, turned me on to like very cool classics and mm-hmm. alternative stuff. And it was kind of just like, even before I was actively aware that like it was, you know, playing in the car on the mm-hmm. way to school, like just as music would be. So I absolutely think that she affected my sensibility. It doesn't, she never put pressure on me. You know, she didn't, she kind of discouraged me from doing this.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, any parent would mm-hmm. be scared for their child, especially with her experience mm-hmm. being what it was. But she's very supportive.
Did she help you with any of, like, your scenes? Like, did you work with a coach?
Yeah, early on, I worked with a coach, mm-hmm. Myra Turley. She's wonderful.
I took her class. I was in class with Ahmed and Nicole.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked with Myra. I love her. I did, like, one-on-ones.
Did you ever do her class?
No, I never did her class. I just did, like, a few one-on-ones while I was doing the initial audition. Lindsay Adams recommended her. But no, my mom, we didn't work on it.
Together. Yeah.
It was just me and Myra.
Yeah.
And then she's great.
It's so funny. I coached with her for something and I was out of her, I was in her class right before COVID and then it ended like a week early. So I forgot what she's like as a teacher. And then I coached with her during COVID and I hadn't done anything for a year. And I forgot how
direct.
She's like so direct, but I loved it when I was in her class, but I just forgot. And then I was like, oh yeah. Like it took me a second to like readjust to it.
Yeah.
But
she's good.
But it is, I do like it. Like I think it's like for a certain type of person.
For sure. Well, she's great at working with stand-ups because I believe she was... Because she's great. And also, I think she was married to a comic.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I know that, like, everyone who always is in her class are people who do stand-up or comedy or more focused than drama, even though she teaches both. But she's amazing like that.
She's so great.
She's so incredible. I don't know if this means anything to you, this question. I don't understand it. What's the best strategy for liar's dice? Does that mean anything to you?
Liar's Dice is a game. It's probably someone I know. Liar's Dice is a game of probability. It's a dice game. This is a bullshit question.
Okay.
Asked by someone I know. I guess do math in your head about the probability of it's a group of people that, you can look it up. It's Liar's Dice. It's a fun game.
Here's the next one. Do you run your stand-up by people or go up hoping for the best?
Both. Some things I just, write and try. And then usually if something works or, then I'll run it by people and be like, do you have, what do you think about, blah, blah, blah. But, sometimes, a lot of comics call each other up and they're like, yo, do you have new bits? And I'll be like, yeah, do you have new bits? And then we'll just listen to them, throw out tags, pitch alts, things like that. So
totally.
Sometimes I do that.
Okay. How much work goes into a joke before you try it in stand-up for the first time?
It depends on the joke. Some things are... I have, a really annoying writing process where I have, I'm very inspired for 2 weeks, and then for 9 months, I can't write a joke.
Yeah, totally.
Where I'll write, 15 minutes in 2 weeks, and there are no second drafts, and, whatever I have originally written goes. Mm-hmm. And then for, 9 months, I can't write shit. And I'm working and working and working and trying to get things in shape and trying to edit and bring it back and blah, blah, blah. So thus far, that has been my curse.
Yeah. But I totally, I feel like that's pretty similar to a lot of people. I know it's obviously great to try to have the discipline to sit down and write every day for 2 hours or whatever Seinfeld tells us to do.
Yeah.
That's the thing everyone knows. But oftentimes I feel like it's so much easier just to think of things naturally when they come to you and just make a note in your phone or whatever. And then I take a combination of the notes and sit down. And then I feel like it's easier to work like that.
Yeah, it
personally.
Has to come to you. Or you're in a conversation and you say something and someone laughs and you're like...
A normie friend.
Yeah.
And then you're like, all right, I'll have to say that on stage. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one. Hi, Hannah. Love you. Do you have a favorite scene you did with Gene?
I think probably on the couch in episode 6 in the recovery center where she kind of Deborah tells Ava kind of the truth about her experience with her ex-husband, and Ava's like, you got to write about this. That was a really nice thing for them, and I felt it, I think.
Yeah. I love that. I know you're talking about. Next one. Were you ever, I keep saying next one because the way I'm reading them and for people who can't see that I'm reading off my phone, these questions, were you ever, intimidated acting opposite of Gene? ... Love you. Two different people who started and finished with love you.
Love you. Love you back. I mean, I would say that I was, but the way that Jean is, she doesn't allow you to be intimidated by her. She just, like, finds a way to make you feel so comfortable, the way she greets you in the morning, so loving, you know, very touchy.
Kiss on the lips.
Yeah. One law. Hey, baby, slap on the ass. Get out there, you know? she's just, like, she doesn't, there's no, like, good luck about her. She doesn't have any of that shit, so... Like, really, it's a credit to her that I didn't feel, like, terrified. I mean, I was in awe of her, certainly. But I think that intimidation has a sort of, like, tinge of a negative thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas I prefer to see it as, like, I was, like, you know, sort of...
A reframe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So do you reframe most things for yourself? Like, that could be a negative thing that you just spin it to keep it... more, not like tolerable, but just easier.
I should.
Just broadly speaking.
I should. Yeah. I mean, I tend to kind of, I mean, when it comes to like my, I, it would, that would help me a great deal in my emotional life. But yeah, I mean, just, in, I think when speaking about like other people or hearing other people's situations, I probably do that.
Was there a moment with filming? So initially, you know, you're on set now, you've booked the job, first big thing. Like, did you feel anxious? And then was there like a moment where you're like, you know what? Like, I got this. Like, that felt really good. I think I know what I'm doing. I'm going to let go of all that bullshit and like, have a great time. Like, was there sort of like an evolution of your self-talk and comfort level?
I was so scared and so insecure most of it.
Aww.
And
you would have never been able to tell.
Thank you. Yeah. And that is not, it's so crazy how much positive affirmation I was given by everyone around me. And still, like, I found a way to be like, you suck, you know? Like,
yeah.
So I mean, I had moments where I felt like, oh, I'm in the groove here when, you know, certain things I did, you know, when I felt like I was getting laughs or, you know, whatever. But it was only like towards the end where I really started to be like, okay, I'm my sort of like positive affirmation is coming from within, which was not something that I really experienced much. So it really it took me a while. And then there were like little missteps. Like, I feel like it's kind of a roller coaster. Like, you know, some days I'm feeling good and other days I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, something's not clicking for me maybe. So it was kind of here and there, but for the most part I was pretty insecure just cause you know, it was my first time and I was like, I can't believe like it. I was so in awe of the fact that I was even, you know, able to do it.
Yeah. Were you like, was it easy for you to memorize the lines? Because, so did you, what's your process like? Like, do you get the lines out of the way and then you can just fill in and have fun?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you pre-plan the ways that you were filling in moments or was some of it just like natural, like in the moment and then you just, you know, repeated it obviously sort of thing or?
Yeah, I definitely felt like I needed, because I have such, kind of like, I have such a short attention span and I have trouble. I have really like not a great memory. I was like, I have to drill, like even things I drilled sometimes I was like, fuck. And I was forgetting on set just because of like how scattered I was. And like, it was such a new thing, but, I figured kind of like, if I can memorize this as much as I possibly can, then in the moment, like, I can kind of leave the words, even though I'm saying everything they told me to say, like, I can fill in the physicality, because it does kind of depend on the space and the actor you're with and all of those things. So I allowed that to, like, be fresh, because the, if I was memorizing the movements too, like, I felt like it would probably be
too much.
Too much.
Too, like, multi-cammy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then you laugh on the line and then you pick up the soda, you know?
Exactly.
Okay. Maybe like two more of these and then I'll let you go. Okay. How similar are you to Ava and Hax? What are you, how are you different, and what is most relatable?
I think what's most relatable is someone like trying as much as they possibly can to be better, and not always being able to. Like, I feel like there are ways that I should take care of myself that I sometimes try to, and other times I just like let go, stop trying, and like am just sort of overcome by negativity, just like for myself. So in that way, you know, Ava is more tangible in her sort of like wrongdoing or mistakes or whatever you want to call it. But I do sense that she's trying to be better. So I relate to that in my own way, just like, I think we're similar in that I have like kind of imbued my sense of humor into her. So she like has the similar timing and similar, sort of like the way I'm delivering her jokes is the way I deliver jokes. That's pretty spot on. But we're different in like kind of a lot. I think she has more stamina than me. I feel like, I feel like just such a weary old broad. And she's just like this young fucking, she's out there and she's, I think she has initially, less sort of self-awareness. And I feel like almost on the opposite end of, equally as like bad, but just like too aware, and maybe like I'm clouded by that self-awareness. Like I'm too far in to where I'm like, now all of a sudden I can't see anything for what it actually is at times, maybe. And even like me pointing that out, right, furthering into that.
No, I mean.
Like, you know what I mean? Just like possibly over-therapized. yeah, I think there are surface level ways in which we are similar, where she's like a 25-year-old comedy person and like she's bisexual and like, you know, has my face and like body and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I had like several questions asking her height, but you said that you're 5'8".
My height.
Okay. The rest are like annoying questions, so I'm not going to ask them.
Well, thank you for saving me from that.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking care of me in that way.
Well, I feel like, today for your self-care routine, like how do you take care of yourself? Like now that the show is out and there's like, and you know, I'm sure that you're getting like a lot of positive attention. Like how do you keep your head on? How do you keep like a cool, calm attitude? And like, how are you dealing with everything and taking care of yourself?
Well, as a radical act of self-care, I did delete my Twitter.
Ooh, yeah.
I just don't want to really be there anymore. It like makes me scared and sad.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's just like there is a realm of Twitter that I love so much and I miss so much because I feel like the funniest shit on planet Earth is on there, like the funniest people. But there is a lot of darkness as well that like, you know, just makes me, I plunge so deeply into, like allowing my, again, like my self-worth to be determined by like strangers.
Yeah.
The way we as stand-ups,
my
like,
life. Help.
Yeah.
Stop. Help. I've been working on that too.
Yeah.
Just attaching my self-worth to other things.
Right.
Trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like I'm more.
Hard.
I'm a wife. I'm what else? I don't know. Yeah. Dog mom. We're figuring it out.
Yeah. So many more things. And like, you know, I think every comic like has that issue or has had that issue. And I feel like Twitter is a way for me to like, you know,
protect yourself.
Yeah. Just being like, I'm going to disengage, to like maybe be like to help myself.
Totally.
I don't really work out. I need to do that. Yeah, I really don't exercise.
Yeah.
And I did today, and I'm like, whoa. Like, it's fucking
what do
me
you
up.
Do?
I just, like, went on a hike.
Yeah.
So I should probably do that, but I guess that is how I don't take care of myself. How I do take care of myself is probably, just like journaling and, trying to, listen to my body and what it needs. I am kind of like generally, I feel like inclined to stay home.
Yeah.
So I kind of like allow myself to do that. And like, that makes me feel, I like being alone.
Alone.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just, oh, alone. Really?
Alone.
No.
So just you? Sounds sad.
No, but that's good that you like alone time. But are you, never mind. I'll tell you what I was going to say later.
Thank you.
Well, Hannah, thank you so much for coming on.
Chelsea.
Is that the most awkward way to end?
Well.
Alone.
Well. It seems fitting for this vibe. Also, if I overshared at any point, just get used to it.
You didn't at all. No, this is a podcast.
It's too much.
I know, podcast. And then you leave a podcast and you're like, why did I say that? You didn't say anything bad at all. No, that was great. I have a great track record of awkwardly starting and ending podcasts, but sometimes there's really just no great way to do it. I know that do you have some dates coming up or anything you want to like promote and throw out, and also watch Hacks on HBO Max?
Yeah, I should know what the dates are. I'm going to be in Bloomington, Indiana in October at
some
time.
The Onion, right? Isn't that the Blooming Onion, Josh?
Josh, weigh in. Weigh in.
No, is it the Comedy Attic?
Comedy Attic. I think so. I'm almost positive.
No, I meant, isn't like the Blooming...
Bloomin' Onion,
isn't that like where that
is
came
that,
from?
Is that their like Wisconsin has cheese? They got the Bloomin' Onion.
I think so.
I think that's more of an Outback Steakhouse
All
situation.
Right. Sorry. Okay, Hannah, please continue.
And then I'll like pretty much aside from September 12th, every last Sunday of the month, I'll be at Dynasty Typewriter.
Amazing.
And then just around town.
Because I'm thinking back, how I said alone.
Alone.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks. Have a great day, everyone. Ciao. And bye.